The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to the crowds, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. The Jews quarrel among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever. The Gospel of the Lord. I want to talk to you today about wine, women, and song. Wine, women, and song. I want to recommend these three things highly. Wine, women, and song. You say, well, you've gotten to know me well enough to know that I'm going to tease you a little bit, and we're going to bring it right back to what the Lord wants us to hear. But I don't know if you noticed today, but the readings today set forth for us the importance of wine, the importance of a woman, and the importance of song. Now, I want to take them in reverse order. Or perhaps just revert, or just move the order around a little bit. First of all, I'd like you to notice with me the woman that is mentioned here, who is highly recommended to all of us. It says, wisdom has built her house. Now, in the Old Testament tradition, wisdom, which in Greek is called Sophia, is personified as a beautiful woman. What is wisdom? She is a beautiful woman to be sought after. Wisdom is a woman so beautiful, so noble, but hard to catch. But she is worth selling all you have to be able to go and be in her presence. Wisdom, the beautiful woman, wisdom. But I want to take it one step further with you. That for us as Catholics and as Christians, the woman is the church. Some of you are old enough to remember that we often used to speak of the church as our Holy Mother, the church. People today hardly ever talk that way about the church. The church is usually referred to as it, as an institution. But in the Bible, the church is considered to be, and is told to us to be, in both the book of Revelation and the book of Ephesians, the church is referred to as the beautiful bride of Christ and the mother of all the living. The church is the bride of Christ, and she is also our mother. And the womb of the church is the baptismal font. And you and I are brought forth from the womb of the church at the baptismal font. Christ is our Father, and the church, his bride, is our mother. And so, it was always understood as a term of affection that Catholics would refer to the church as Mother Church, as our Holy Mother, the church. This text goes on to say, therefore, that this beautiful woman, this, as I'm trying to show you now, this bride of Christ, this woman who is our mother, he has set up seven columns. Now what does that remind you of? The seven sacraments. The seven pillars, if you will, on which we stand. Baptism, through which we are born to this eternal life, through the womb of the church. Confirmation, by which we come to maturity and are strengthened for our mission. Holy Communion, by which our mother feeds us. And so, she gives birth to us. She raises us to strength and prepares us for our mission. She feeds us at the table of the Lord. And any good mother also cares for her children when they are hurt or sick. And so, by the power of Christ, we are forgiven our spiritual wounds in the confessional, healed of them. And likewise, when we are physically ill, we're strengthened by Christ and His bride through this great sacrament of the anointing of the sick. And every mother rejoices to see her children marry and bring forth grandchildren. So the church also sets up this great sacrament of marriage for us. We would find partnership among ourselves and bring forth many grandchildren for her. Christ and His bride, the church. And then finally, the church also rejoices that some of her members are called to be priests, to continue this great work of preaching, teaching, and representing the groom, who is Christ. And so our Mother Church has seven columns, seven sacraments, all rooted in the Word of God that she has set up for us in this beautiful liturgy. It says she's dressed her meat and she's mixed her wine. We're about to come to the altar of the Lord, and He will feed us on the meat of His own flesh, and we will drink the wine of His blood. So the church has set up her seven columns, her seven sacraments. Most noble of them, the sacrament of the Eucharist, where we are fed and we drink the blood of Christ. And oh yes, she spread her table. I could go on with this reading, but it simply goes on to say that whoever is simple, let them come here. Whoever is humble and open to being instructed, come to Lady Wisdom, to Mother Church, to the beautiful woman that we call the church. Try to avoid calling the church it. The church is not it. The church is she. The church is her. She is the great bride of Christ. And therefore, our mother. Our mother. So, brothers and sisters, the first thing I want to say to you today on this sermon of wine, women, and song, in this case, a woman, is that the woman who is recommended to us is our Holy Mother, the Bride of Christ, the Church. Strive to love the Church. How do you think Christ feels when people diss His Bride? I know that the church is not perfect in her human dimension, but the church is Christ's beautiful bride. Strive to love the church, who, as a loving mother, sets up the seven columns of her sacraments, dresses the meat and mixes the wine for us at the table of the Lord, and as a loving mother cares for us, teaches us, brings us to maturity, brings us to Christ. Well, the second thing I want to talk to you today about is not just in this wine, women, and song message, is now the wine. Or I'm sorry, the song. I want to end on the wine. But the song. The second reading today is from the letter to the Colossians, the Ephesians, and it says here, interestingly enough, don't get drunk on wine, but rather be filled with Spirit. So notice what the text says. It does not say, don't have any wine. It says, don't get drunk on wine. And it also specifies the wine. This text tells us that the wine, the Spirit, if you will, that we should imbibe is the Holy Spirit. You know that sometimes alcoholic beverages are called spirits. Well, you need to drink the wine of the Spirit. Now, we're going to get to the wine in a minute, but the text goes on to say, address one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual canticles. I don't know about you, but I love music. Music profoundly influences me. When I was young, I listened to what would be described as hard rock. The Who, Aerosmith, Van Halen, driving rock music, pounding beats. You know what it made me do? It made me drive fast. It made me angry, stirred up my anger, stirred up my passion. It didn't excite, if you will, within me noble things. But I'll promise you, it was powerfully influential. But as I grew older, I began to love music of the church. I think I've told you before, I joined the choir, the church choir, to meet the girls. And I did. But I also began to love the music we sang. And it too began to strongly influence me. Back in 1993, I first came to Holy Comforter St. Cyprian Parish. And I was introduced to gospel music for the first time. Oh, I'd heard about it occasionally on the TV, but it never really paid much attention. But now that I was here, and I began to get to know you and love you as a congregation, and we began to be family together, I began to love the music that was loved here. And once again, that music powerfully moved me and influenced me. And thank the Lord I left behind the rock and roll and all the anger it used to excite in me, the negative emotions. And I began to be influenced by psalms, hymns, and inspired canticles. I want to recommend to you the great music of the church. We are influenced by what we allow ourselves to be influenced by. And a steady diet of the news of the world, the thinking of the world, the music of the world, makes us worldly. But a steady diet of the Word of God, a steady diet of the teachings of the church, a steady diet of the music of the church, also can powerfully influence us, the way we think, our priorities, our motivations. We begin to change. So I recommend to you song and all the things related to it. Beautiful scriptures, teachings of the church, and the music, which is God's word set to music. I recommend it to you highly. And I promise you, you will grow to be influenced by it. It will have a powerful effect on the way you think, your priorities. Before you know it, you begin to sing it and hum it, not just in church, but when you're going down the street. You begin to remember some of the words of those beautiful songs. In times of trouble, you'll say, "Trouble don't last always," and you'll hear the song. Or you'll think, you know, in difficult times, "Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, Lord, it is well with my soul, it is well." And in times of joy, you say, "I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." You begin to sing, and the Word of God comes alive in your heart and your mind. So today, I recommend to you a woman, the church. I recommend to you song. And I recommend to you wine. And particularly, I want you to spend a moment with me. Allow wine now to represent for us the Holy Eucharist that we are summoned to receive. The Holy Eucharist. The Lord today teaches very solemnly that if we do not eat his flesh and drink his blood, we have no life in us. Think of ordinary food for a moment. If we were to stop eating, we would begin, well, the first thing that happens to me when I stop eating is that I get angry and I get irritable. But then, of course, then I've never gone this long without food, but eventually I begin to grow weak, lightheaded, maybe even faint. I lose energy, become listless. If I were to continue to stop eating, eventually I would grow sick and die. It is the same with Holy Communion, which is our spiritual food. Stop eating the body and blood of Christ, and Jesus says you'll have no life in you. He's saying you will die spiritually. He is saying that my word is food, so also is my flesh and my blood. And therefore, brothers and sisters, we need to eat regularly. We need to drink the wine, which is actually his blood, and receive the bread, which is actually his body. It's interesting, when the Lord taught today on this, in this gospel, they object. They say, this is silly, this is crazy. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? And Jesus does something which we don't pick up in the English, but in the Greek, is very shocking. When he said, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. He didn't quite say it that way. He said it this way. He uses a Greek verb for eating and drinking that is very impolite. He says, for emphasis, unless you gnaw on the flesh of the Son of Man and devour his blood, you have no life in you. Gnawing is a very impolite way of eating, is it not? You can think of a guy with a big drumstick eating out of the side of his face. You see, when they're shocked by his teaching that they should eat his flesh and drink his blood, he doesn't back down. He gets even more graphic with them. Because you see, church, he's trying to say to them, I am not speaking symbolically. You must actually eat my flesh and drink my blood. You are not today, church, when you come up this aisle, receiving a symbol of Jesus. You are actually receiving his body and blood. You are presented with the teaching of the faith. When I will say to you, the body of Christ, you are then instructed to say, Amen. I believe that this is not a symbol. This is actually his body. You are then presented with a cup that is filled with wine if you choose to receive from the cup. By the way, people ask me, am I required to receive from the cup? And the answer is no. Because in the host, what appears to be bread, you actually receive the entire Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity. The cup is offered in obedience to the way Christ offered it. But I just want you to know there are reasons that some people avoid the cup. Maybe you have a cold that you don't want to share. Or maybe you're very susceptible to catching a cold. So there are reasons that some people refrain from the cup. You're not required to receive from the cup because in the host you receive the whole Christ. But you're encouraged to receive from the cup because that's the way Christ offered it at the Last Supper. So if you can, I encourage you. But never miss Holy Communion. Always receive at least the host every Sunday. Christ was emphatic. And he's not playing games with us. This really is my body. This really is my blood. I'm insisting that you accept this faith and this truth and that you receive it every Sunday. If serious sin separates you from Christ, get to confession as soon as possible and return to communion. But do not neglect Holy Communion. Tell your sons and daughters. Tell your brothers and sisters. Tell your grandchildren who may be away from God's table that if they do not receive this Holy Communion, they are dying spiritually. They will react. They'll say, how dare you judge me? They'll say, you're saying if I don't get your little wafer, I'm going to die? Just tell them, I'm only telling you what Jesus said. All right, brothers and sisters, I'm not here to judge the whole world. And people that don't understand this, I don't know, maybe God can take care of them some other way. But all I know is what Jesus said. And Jesus said, the ordinary way that he wants to feed his people is at this altar. Every Sunday, without any doubt. And to know that, and to stay away from it, is to commit very serious sin. So the church teaches that it is a mortal sin to miss Mass on Sunday. I just want to conclude on this gospel by following through with you. As Jesus goes on to talk about the promises of this Holy Communion, that whoever eats this flesh and drinks his blood remains in him, and that he will raise them on the last day. Do you want an assurance that you're going to make it on the day of judgment? Do you want an assurance that you're going to make it through to the promised land? Then eat his flesh and drink his blood. An old Latin hymn speaks of this Eucharist as a pledge and foretaste of eternal life. It's very reassuring to be here every Sunday to know that it's a sign that God has his hand on us, that he's feeding us to sustain us on our way to the promised land. If he weren't going to bring us to the promised land, perhaps he'd allow us to die in the desert. But as it is, he called you here today. It's a pretty good sign, isn't it, that the Lord has his hand on you and wants to bring you home. I'm not saying that we don't need to be vigilant and that we could possibly turn away next week, turn away next year. But in the end, brothers and sisters, right now, there's a sign that God is giving you, that he loves you. He wants to feed you and sustain you in the desert because he's drawing you to the promised land of heaven. Praise God. It is a great pledge and sign of his desire to save you and me. So today, a recommendation from your pastor. Wine, women, and song. Or more specifically, the wine, which is the Eucharist. The woman, who is the church. In all her beauty, with her seven columns, and the song, which is the great Word of God, and the Word of God set to music, in the music of the church. I recommend to you wine, women, and song. You can tell someone when you go home, our pastor said, wine, women, and song. And they'll say, what? And then you can tell what you have seen and heard. Amen.